Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Karthikeyan, moderator for the earnings conference call. Welcome to Rajesh Power Services Limited, H2 FY26 and FY26 earnings conference call. We have with us today from the management, Mr. Utsav Panchal, Director and CEO, Mrs. Nikita Shah, Finance Head, and Mr. Adish Patel, Senior Manager, Finance. As a reminder, all participants will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on a touch-tone telephone. Please note, this conference is recorded. I would now like to hand over the floor to Mr. Arpit Mundra, EY team, for the cautionary statement. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Karthike. Good evening, everyone. On the behalf of the management, I am pleased to welcome you all to Rajesh Power Services Limited earnings conference call to discuss the H2 FY26 and FY26 financial results. Today, from the management side, we have with us Mr. Utsav Panchal, Director and CEO, Ms. Nikita Shah, Finance Head, and Mr. Adish Patel, Senior Finance Manager. Please note, a copy of all the disclosure is available in the investor section of the website as well as on the stock exchange. Anything said on this call which reflects the outlook for the future or which could be constructed as a forward-looking statement must be reviewed in conjunction with the risk that the company faces. Now, I shall hand over the call to Utsav Bhai for his opening remarks. Over to you, Utsav Bhai. Thank you.
Thank you, Arthi. Good evening, everyone, and a very warm welcome to all of you to the earnings conference call of Rajesh Power Services Limited. The audited financial results, along with the investor presentation for H2 and FY26, have already been uploaded on the stock exchange. We trust you have had the opportunity to review them and have your questions ready, which I, Ms. Nikita, and Mr. Adish look forward to addressing later during the Q&A session. Before I begin with our customary briefing, I would like to share a broader perspective. At Rajesh Power, our journey is becoming increasingly exciting and meaningful. We are actively identifying and executing opportunities across new states, new customer segments, and new channels of growth. As the power sector in India evolves rapidly, we believe the coming years hold tremendous promise, not just for Rajesh Power as an organization, but for all our stakeholders. So let me begin this with the operational highlights for the second half and the full financial year. As of 31st March 2026, the company's unexecuted order book stood at 3326 crore. Of this, the power distribution segment accounted for 71%, that is 2365 crore, and the power transmission segment constituted the remaining 29%, that is 961 crore. This healthy order book gives us strong revenue visibility for the coming quarters. During FY26, the company recorded order inflows of ₹2743 crore, supported by consistent wins across government, utility, and private sector projects. During the year, Rajesh Power successfully executed and commissioned several projects, underlying our strong project management and execution capabilities. Key among them include 132 kV gas insulated substation at Jodhpur in Rajasthan, 66 kV substation project for JK Paper in Gujarat, RDSS schemes Gandhinagar and Ahmedabad projects for UGVCL, Gujarat, Lalgarh traction substation project in Bikaner for Rajasthan, 132 kV GIS substation project in Jaipur, and 220 kV GIS project at Atul for Gujarat. These projects strengthen our credentials for gas insulated substation, air insulated substation, underground cabling, and turnkey grid infrastructure. As we look ahead, I am pleased to share that the company currently has a targeted robust bid book of approximately 6,000 crore, 75% of which originates from Gujarat and 25% from other states, reflecting our expanding national footprint across Rajasthan, Uttarakhand, Maharashtra, Bihar, and beyond. This diversification aligns with our strategy to reduce geographic concentration risk and pursue sustainable long-term growth. India's power sector is entering a transformational phase under Viksit Bharat 2047 vision. The draft National Electricity Policy 2026 places significant emphasis on the policy targets per capita electricity consumption from 2000 kilowatt hour by 2030 to over 4000 kilowatt hour by 2047. Expansion and modernization of transmission networks, achieving single digit AT&C losses in distribution, underground networks in urban areas, and adoption of advanced grid technologies and redundancy planning. Rajesh Power is well aligned with these national priorities. Our work in RDSS projects, underground cabling, GIS substations, and high-capacity transmission infrastructure positions us as a key partner in India's grid modernization journey. I would now like to highlight the tangible outcomes we are witnessing from the deployment of MVCC and underground distribution networks. Based on the DISCOM feedback and on-ground performance data, MVCC and underground cable installations have resulted in a 70 to 80% reduction in the interruption durations, which are driven by structurally stronger networks and quicker fault management. These results underscore that undergrounding is not only a reliability-enhancing intervention, but also an economically compelling solution. DISCOMs increasingly indicate that underground distribution delivers a rapid payback with incremental revenue and efficiency gains significantly exceeding the overall cost of underground cabling over its life cycle. The key operational benefits of these include 70 to 80% reduction in interruption duration, significant reduction in HT faults, faster fault isolation and restoration, which is enabled through RMU-based sectionalization, improved voltage stability, enhanced public safety by eliminating exposed overhead conductors, and removal of HT pole improves customer premises safety and enables smoother execution in municipal infrastructure projects. In FY26 alone, we have successfully strengthened the distribution network by installing over 350 feeders, which ultimately affect more than 15 lakh consumers. We have installed over 4,000 ring main units, and we have installed over 1,200 distribution transformers, along with laying more than 1,300 kilometers of cable in a single year. FY26 also marks a strategic milestone for Rajesh Power with our entry into battery energy storage system, where we signed a 65 by 130 megawatt hour standalone battery energy storage system project in Gujarat, which was awarded by GUVNL. The project is designed to enhance grid flexibility, optimize peak demand management, and enabling smoother integration of renewable energy into the grid. As highlighted, BESS is becoming central to India's energy transition, especially as renewable capacity continues to grow rapidly. With over 102 gigawatt hour of storage capacity already tendered in India, BESS is transitioning from pilot project to mainstream grid infrastructure. We believe this marks the beginning of a new growth engine for Rajesh Power over the coming decade. Rajesh Power operates on a clearly differentiated transmission and distribution platform that sets us apart from conventional T&D players. Our strong leadership in underground cabling significantly reduces right-of-way risk, as these projects are primarily right-of-usage in nature, which enables smoother execution with minimal regulatory challenge. This structurally advantage allows us to deliver projects faster, typically within 18 to 24 months, compared to the longer timelines seen in traditional transmission EPC models. We work with high-quality customers, including top-rated DISCOMs and multilateral-backed entities, which ensure predictable cash flows and strong working capital discipline. Coupled with our deep technical expertise across the voltage levels from 1.1 kV up to 400 kV, spanning transmission, distribution, GIS, underground cabling, and operations and maintenance, we believe Rajesh Power is uniquely positioned as a scalable, execution-focused, and resilient T&D platform. Turning into the financial performance, I am pleased to inform you that during the FY26, the company has recorded a total revenue of ₹1,628 crore. The EBITDA stood at ₹197 crore. The EBITDA margin was 12.1% and the PAT margin was 8.8%. The year witnessed robust and consistent performance supported by disciplined execution and operational effectiveness. Historically, on annualized basis, our revenue has grown at a CAGR of over 99% over the last 3 years, ranging from FY23 to FY26, reflecting the scalability of our business model. At Rajesh Power, employee safety remains a top priority. During the year, we conducted multiple safety awareness initiatives, including structured programs such as Suraksha Kavach Safety Workshop, aimed at strengthening on-ground safety practices and reinforcing a cultural of responsibility across project sites. Beyond safety, we continue to invest in training, capability building, and team engagement, ensuring our people are prepared to execute increasingly complex next-generation power infrastructure projects. Before concluding, I would like to express my sincere gratitude to all our stakeholders, our clients, partners, investors, and lenders for their continued trust and support. Above all, I would like to thank our employees whose dedication and excellence have been instrumental in delivering another strong year. While FY26 has been a year of solid progress, we view this as just a stepping stone towards larger and more impactful milestones ahead. We remain firmly committed to profitable growth, operational excellence, and sustainable business practices aligned with India's evolving power ecosystem. Once again, thank you for your confidence in Rajesh Power Services Limited. With this, I would now like to hand over the call to Ms. Nikita Shah, who is the finance head, who will take you through the detailed financial performance of the company.
Thank you, Chavai. Good evening, everyone, and a warm welcome to Rajesh Power Services Limited, second half and full financial year 2026 earnings conference call. Thank you for joining us today. It is my pleasure to walk you through our financial performance for the second half and full year ended 31st March 2026. Let me begin with the key financial highlights for financial year 2026 in comparison with financial year 2025. In financial year 2026, revenue grew 52% to 1,628 crore on the back of efficient project execution and a diversified order book, while EBITDA and PAT rose by 59% and 48% respectively to ₹197 crore and ₹143 crore respectively, resulting in margin of 12.1% and 8.8%. On a balance sheet front, the company's net worth increased by 53% year-on-year to ₹406 crore in financial year 2026, underscoring our strong capital position. ROCE and ROE stood at 43.65% and 35.26% respectively in second half of financial year 2026, demonstrating efficient capital deployment and robust return generation. Our capital structure continues to remain comfortable with a debt equity ratio of 0.31 only for the period ended 31st of March 2026, reflecting prudent leverage and financial discipline. Now let me share the key financial highlights for the second half of financial year 2026 in comparison with second half of financial year 2025. During the second half of financial year 2026, the company delivered a strong performance across all key metrics. Revenue grew by 30% year-on-year to 990 crore, driven by disciplined project execution and the strength of our well-diversified order book. EBITDA for the second half of financial year 2026 increased by 31% year-on-year to ₹113 crore with a healthy EBITDA margin of 11.4%, reflecting improved operating efficiency and effective cost management. Profit after tax also grew by 26% year-on-year to ₹84 crore, resulting in a PAT margin of 8.5%, supported by higher operating leverage and stable financial cost. Overall, these results highlight Rajesh Power Limited's strong operational execution, balance sheet strength, and continued focus on sustainable and well-diversified growth. With that note, I conclude the financial highlights. I now request the moderator to open the floor for the question and answer session. Thank you so much.
Thank you, ma'am. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star and one on a telephone keypad and wait for your turn to ask the question. If you would like to withdraw your request, you may do so by pressing star and one again. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on a telephone keypad. I'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Aniket Madhwani from Step Trade Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. Am I audible?
Yes.
And so my question was with regards to the BESS project that you have signed with GUVNL. So what is the timeline that this project will be complete? Will it be completed by 527? And can
yes,
we expect the from this project in this year?
So this project is to be completed by September 27, the entire execution, and then the revenue will start post that. But we'll try to execute maybe a bit higher or by Q1 of 27.
And apart from this single project, are you in talks with any other projects in BESS segment?
So currently, our strategy for BESS is mainly to understand the entire value chain of the BESS project from sourcing till EPC, EPC part, everything. Currently, we're not looking to bid for any more BESS projects. We are interested in bidding for more BESS EPC projects where we see a lot of value addition and direct. This is exactly what we do at Rajesh Power, the BSEPC part of it.
Okay, so you are more interested in BESS EPC. So what would be the capex for 1 megawatt and then for BESS infrastructure?
So it's broadly 1.5 to 2.5 crores.
1.5 to 2.5 crores for 1 megawatt.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Agastya Dave from CAO Capital. Please go ahead.
So, am I audible?
Yes.
Hello. Yeah, thank you very much. Good evening. Sir, my question pertains to your balance sheet. The trade receivables have jumped quite substantially compared to even last year and also compared to the first half, along with the inventory. So can you break this down? Is there any element of the BESS project which is getting reflected here? Is there anything which you would like to point out which could be worrisome going forward? Are there any delays from the clients in terms of payments, or this is something which you were expecting and it's just a transient thing?
I think this is just the higher receivable is just a short time phenomenon. I think because of very high billing in the month of March, there are no BSS receivables in this project. The only reason of this higher receivables you see is because of very good billing in the month of March. There is no delay in any payment receivable from the client or customer. The payment terms stay as it is 45 to 60 days for all our customers.
But just the billing was not that high, right? If I look at last year's H2 numbers, the revenues, consolidated revenues were 760 crores. Now it is 919 crores. But the receivables have gone from 181 crores to 350 crores. So that's a substantial jump. I mean, it's not proportionate. The number of days has definitely increased. So that's why I'm asking the question.
The only reason is because of the higher billing in the month of March. So that's why the receivables are showing a higher number at a year-end basis.
So you expect everything to be cleared by, let's say, June?
Yeah, 45 to 60 days. The standard payment terms which we have for all our customers.
Perfect, perfect. So for next year, the order inflows have been excellent this year, and your commentary on the bid book is also looking fairly good. How do you see the next year panning out? Sir, the previous time we interacted, you had talked about a 4-5 year opportunity of over 15,000 crores from just the three states of Uttaranchal, Gujarat and Rajasthan. How do you see that panning out? And are there any changes there, any improvements or any cuts?
Yeah, so yes, last time what we talked about, I think we are consistent with that in the sense that we are looking at opportunity size, the entire market. Just Gujarat, we are seeing an opportunity in the JETCO of around, 10,000 crore annual opportunity, out of which addressable market, I would say, is more towards 45%. So around, 4,000 to 4,500 crore is the addressable market just from the Gujarat transmission utility. Additionally, distribution is having additional roughly 5,000 crore. This is just for Gujarat. And apart from Gujarat, we have Rajasthan, Maharashtra, Uttarakhand, Orissa, Jharkhand. And also we are bidding, we are in plans to bid for railway electrification tenders where we have to build traction substations, sectioning post and subsectioning post. So adding all those opportunities, we are seeing around, 15,000 rough. Figure of 15,000 crore opportunity size.
Okay, so last time you had mentioned TAM of 10,000 crores per year, so you are seeing acceleration in that, like increase in the size of the pie.
Yes, addressable market in the coming future, we are seeing roughly around 14 to 15,000 crore.
Per year. Final question, sir, how does next year look like to you in terms of execution timelines? The projects that you have in hand where mobilization has happened, how do you see execution panning out for next year?
So we are confident on the execution like we did this year. We are confident on achieving executing the projects within the timeline of 18 to 24 months, which is the ideal timeline of our majority of our projects. So we are confident that few of projects will be mobilized, in the next 2 months. Few have already been mobilized in the last 3-4 months, the revenues of which will be realized in the coming, 12 to 18 months.
Great, sir. That's about it from my side. And sir, any revision in the revenue growth guidance of, you were saying 35 to 40%. So any revision there, sir, because the TAM has increased, would you like to revise that?
No, we are sticking with our previously committed guidance. No revision.
Perfect, sir. So thank you very much and all the best, sir.
Thank you.
So one request, if you can start doing quarterly results, that would be of great help.
Yeah.
That's a request, sir. Thank you.
Yeah.
All the best, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Deepak Poddar from Fire Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I'm audible, sir.
Yes.
Okay. So thank you very much for this opportunity. So just first up, wanted to understand, you mentioned about BESS as a new growth engine also you're looking at. So can you throw some light on the opportunity we are looking there? What sort of contribution from BESS we can see over the next 2-3 years?
So
what's the margin profile? And what's the margin profile in BESS?
Sure. So, as of now, we as a country have witnessed more of BESS projects on a developer basis. But what we are seeing, the PSUs like NTPC or, GIPCL or some PSUs have been aggressively involved in announcing bids, which are BESS EPC, roughly in the range starting from 400, 500 crore. And ranging to, totaling to around 10,000 crore. So we are seeing a very good opportunity in the BESS EPC space. And that was the strategy to enter the BESS segment, that EPC is our forte. And if you see, majority, 30% amount of a BESS project accounts to the AC side. AC side means the substation that is to be constructed along the BESS site. So substation is basically a Rajesh Power's expertise. So that is a strategic entry that we are looking at, and we'll slowly be exploring a good amount of opportunities in this space.
Okay. In terms of orders or in terms of revenue contribution, in 3 years, where do you see, can BSS contribute 15-20% revenue mix?
So I think giving an accurate percentage would be difficult to give right now. But I do feel that we'll move towards that that pie of BSS.
Okay. And what's the margin profile here?
Yeah, same margin profile as we have in transmission segment, because mainly it's substation. Along with substation, it is just plug and play of batteries, nothing else.
Okay, understood. And you mentioned to the previous participant, we are looking for, no revision, and we're looking for previous growth guidance. Is that 40% CAGR is what we are looking at over the next 3-4 years?
Yes. So for the next FY27, we are looking at a 40% growth.
Okay. So earlier we have mentioned, I think, over the next 3 to 4 years, right? That this is the growth that we are looking
yes.
at, right?
Yes. Roughly.
Okay. So we maintain that.
Yes.
Okay, understood. And in terms of margins, this second half of our gross margins and even EBITDA margins were lower. So what led to that, and how should one look at EBITDA margins going forward?
EBITDA margins. Can you repeat the question, please?
So I was just trying to understand, our gross margin as well as EBITDA margin were lower in second half. So what led to this decline, and how should one look at both this parameter going forward?
Okay. I think that just could be a billing mix issue. Broadly, I think at a project level, we look at a bit of around 11-12% and PAT margins of usually 8-9%. So that's how we broadly do it. Small few percentage points spike here and there is mainly because of what sort of billings we do to the client.
Okay, so the second half reduction is only because of the billing mix changes. Otherwise, in general, we are looking at 11-12% EBITDA margin, 8-9%.
Yes.
As a PAT margin.
Yes.
And why are employee costs and other expenses are lower the second half?
I think employee expense, because I think more project managers managing more projects. I think it is just that now the scale of revenue has increased substantially. But our employee costs would not change in the same proportion. So that's the advantage which we'll see it for going forward also.
Okay. Understand. And just one last small thing. You mentioned your bid awaiting result is about 2,200 crores and pipeline is around 3,500 crores. So total is about 5,700 crores. So what sort of conversion we are looking at on that pipeline of total 5,700 crores that
so,
you...
So, so historically, our conversion, like our winning rates, are usually 40%. So that's that's the same kind of number we are looking for this project.
And what's the timeline of this announcement to happen for this entire 6,000 odd crores?
So for the bids which we have already bid above 2,200 crores, I think we are looking by end of May we'll have all the conclusions ready. And for other projects, we'll go as and when the tender opens and concludes.
Okay, for 2200 by May end, we'll get the conclusion.
Yeah, May end, maybe first week of June, but that's the number expected timeline, because there is nothing which we have a control of, but that's what is the expected timeline for that.
Understood. Fair enough. That's very helpful, sir. Wish you all the very best. Yeah, that's it from my side. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Participants are requested to restrict to 3 questions in the initial round and join back the queue for more questions. The next question comes from the line of Shravan Shah from Dolat Capital Markets Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, in just a couple of questions. So you have mentioned in terms of the 40% revenue CAGR for next 2-3 years that we are looking at. Just 2-3 things further to understand. One is on the margin front, the current 12% kind of a number that we are having. So that will be the similar even for next 2-3 years, the EBITDA margin.
Yes, we are confident on maintaining similar level of EBITDA and PAT margins. Roughly, EBITDA between 11-12% and PAT between 8-9%.
Okay, great. And in terms of order inflow, this year, obviously, FY26, 2,700-2,800 crore that we have received. So, for this year, how much we are looking at to win?
we are looking at further order inflows of roughly around, around 4,000 to 5,000 crores is what we are targeting, that we should have this at the end of the year.
Okay. So, and currently, just to understand further, so currently the entire order book, 3,326 crores, so out of that, how much is in Gujarat? And now what we are looking at, 4,000 to 5,000 odd crore, so will the Gujarat will continue to be up 70-75% of the, in terms of the order inflow, the same kind of a share, or it will keep on reducing?
So I think from an order book perspective, currently Gujarat is around 85 to 90, and the rest is outside Gujarat. We are looking at, we are very aggressively spreading, doing projects outside, bidding for projects outside Gujarat. So we think eventually this number will start moving towards 80-20 in the near term.
Okay. Not much 5-10% kind of a, but given, so given if we win 4-5,000 crore orders, inflow for this year, and then obviously the similar number we will try to get for even FY28, then in terms of growth, then this 40% seems to be on the very, very conservative side. We should be then growing, if given the 18-24 months kind of execution, this number should be on the higher side, the execution growth, revenue growth.
No, I think this number is what we plan to execute in the way we have the project deadlines mapped currently. So I wouldn't say it's conservative. I think it's in well with what we are planning to execute in the next 2-3 years.
Okay. And out of currently the entire order book, how much is the underground 3326 crore order book? How much would be the underground in that?
So basically, we do not have any specific, we usually look at it as distribution and transmission. We don't look as underground versus overhead. But roughly, this number might be somewhere around, underground might be somewhere around 70-75%, and rest would be substations and overhead.
Okay. Okay. And in the current BESS, are we putting any equity, and if yes, how much equity are we putting in?
So I think we are working currently with our lenders. I think in the range of, we'll do 70-80% financing by the banks, and rest would be equity by the company.
So that will translate into absolute number would be how much equity?
I think we are determining the project size currently. As soon as we have a project size, we'll have a much better number to share.
Okay. Got it, sir. Thank you, and all the best.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Kaushal Sharma from Equinox Capital Venture Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Very good evening. Am I audible?
I think not audible that.
Voice is not clear.
Hello, am I audible? Am I audible? Now yeah. Is it clear?
Yeah, it's clear.
Yeah, so my question is on working capital side. Like, I can see that your payable has significantly increased from last financial year. That is related to your inventory and receivables that also increased significantly. So what is the rationale?
I don't know, sir. Your voice is not coming clearly. I'm able to not understand the question.
Hello, am I audible now?
Yeah,
you're audible. Is it clear?
Yeah, this is clear.
Yeah, so my question on your working capital side, like I can see on your payable side, it is increased significantly, and it funded by your inventory and receivable, which also increased significantly. So what is the rationale on increasing the payable? Because earlier it is in 26 days, now it has become around 50 days. So is it a sustainable level, or what is the key reason on that?
So I think this year has been a good win for us at Rajesh Power, where we have been able to negotiate with our vendors for credit terms, and I think that's what is getting factored in the increase in creditors.
So is this level sustainable?
Yeah,
50 days of people
date? I think these levels are sustainable.
So usually working capital cycle of 30 to 40 days is something which is sustainable. It could be 2-3 days here and there, but that's a number which we think we would, that's how we manage our working capital cycle.
And so what is the reason of spike in financial assets as well, like 155 crores in financial 25 and now it is 305 crores, almost 96% growth. And what component in this?
I think in financial assets, what we show is the retention money is a part of that number.
So what is the percentage of retention money that we need to give?
Retention would be around. So at an absolute number, it is around. So there are three layers to it. So for a few projects, we have 10%. For a few projects, we would have around, or you can say 30%, and around for a few projects, we'll have 20%.
And when will we get this back? Like, what is the timeline?
So on supply, so there is a retention of 30, out of which we get 20 when we install the thing, and the last 10 when we commission the project, we get that back against issuing of BG.
Okay, so is it interest bearing? Like you have to deposit in FD, then also you get interest on that.
It's just a BG commission cost is what we have to pay for.
Okay, and my last question on your order book side, like you said, 85% to 90% is Gujarat link, and management also consciously avoided distribution work outside Gujarat due to weaker DISCOM payment cycle. So as you expand into Rajasthan, Madhya Pradesh, Uttarakhand, and Odisha, what is the exact filter for choosing product, projects, client rating, payment cycle, retention terms, BG requirement, voltage level, and margin threshold, so that the company doesn't dilute ROC while chasing non-Gujarat growth?
So basically, yes, correctly said that distribution we are focused towards Gujarat. But in transmission, we are moving pan-India in the sense that all the transmission state transmission utilities are healthy. They have good payment cycles, and we do check the profile, every financial profile of every transmission utility that we associate with. So till now, where we have associated is Rajasthan and Uttarakhand, where we are seeing very healthy payment cycle. And further also, whatever pick and choose we are deciding to bid, we are confident that there will not be any compromise on the margin profiles as well as compromise on the cash profile.
So you are also looking at 96,000 crore of opportunity in GATCO over the next 10 years. And there is one scheme, robust infrastructure scheme in Gujarat, has outlay of around 26,000, out of which 16,000 is still left. So what kind of opportunity or tender are you expecting that would be floating in this year, and overall TAM that per annum basis that you are targeting in our segments?
So first I'll talk about GETCO. GETCO has around 96,000 crore, which is divided into years. So right now GETCO has approximate capex each year of around 10,000 crore, so 9,000 to 10,000 crore, out of which we see our addressable market is, which is specifically underground cable and substations, to be around 40 to 50%. So for 4,000 crore what we are seeing from GETCO, and an addressable market of roughly 5,000 crore from the distribution side of Gujarat. That is what we are seeing.
And what about robust infrastructure scheme?
This distribution, what I said, 5,000 crore, is a part of robust infrastructure scheme.
And my last question on your BESS side, sir, like you have recently took an order of 65 megawatts. So what is the economics of this BESS project? And is it on build operation boom on boom, or is it an EPC? Like, how will we recognize revenue over there?
I think in BESS, I think we're going to develop and we're going to own the infra, and we'll be getting the, tariff rentals from the government. What
so this kind of project will continue,
sir,
or you will do
only? Will please join back.
Tell me, please.
Hello?
Kaushal, sir, could you please join back the queue, sir?
Okay, sure, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Divya Ghoshal from Shubkam Ventures. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on good set of numbers. Sir, I just wanted to ask the previous participant's question. Sir, how will we recognize revenue from BESS and will we own the infrastructure and whether will we be continuing these projects?
Okay. So I think first the revenue part. I think revenue we are going to bill to the utility every monthly. This will start after September 2027 or maybe Q1 of 2027 where we have commissioned the entire project. Monthly invoice, monthly rental which we have already stated and disclosed. That's what we're gonna bill to the client every month. So that is very simple. As far as the projects about the strategy, as we discussed, the idea of this BESS project was to understand the entire ecosystem of the BESS so that we can bid higher and more strongly in the BESS EPC projects.
And what would be the cost of the project and the IRR if possible?
So I think we are targeting an IRR of same 10 to 12% in this project. The cost of the project is dependent on the entire, all the cost components. I think our team will be visiting China and we'll have a better quotes and idea on the cost once we finalize the vendor of batteries.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Andre Purushottam from Cogito Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Congratulations for a great set of numbers. I had three questions. The first question was an elaboration of what was previously asked. On your employee expenses, I can understand that you're having some scale economies and all that, but the absolute amount of your employee expenses actually went down in a year where your volumes went up. So in a half year when your volumes went up, so I didn't understand that. Could you just explain that to me?
I'll just ask. Thank you, Andrew. I'll just ask.
So, Andrew, so for the, if you look at it, the entire cost of execution of the projects, which is the bigger part or the lower level of the part, that's a part of our cost of goods and services. So that's what it is. The employee expenses are our corporate offices, supervisors, project managers, and that team. So that is, of course, will rationalize over more projects.
Yeah, that still doesn't answer my question. Okay, how do you have a lower absolute amount of employee expenses with a higher volume?
Sorry?
How do you have an absolute reduction in employee expenses with increased volume of sales? It doesn't answer that question.
Sir, employee cost has increased from 53 CR to 59 CR.
So if you look at, from what I remember from your console results, your employee expenses for the half year were lower.
Not lower.
No, sir. In FY25, the employee cost is 43.90 CR, which has increased to 59 CR in FY26.
For the full year. I'm talking about the half year comparison.
Half year.
Okay, anyway, let me get to my second question. My second question is that in terms of, you talked about the revenue mix from non-Gujarat Rajasthan perhaps coming down to, going up to 20% from the outside Gujarat. So can you just give us an update on what is happening on the states outside Gujarat and Rajasthan?
Sure. So basically, we are trying to expand our transmission footprint, which is mainly underground cable, up to 220 kV, and GIS substations up to 400 kV footprint, taking our experience from Gujarat and Rajasthan to other states. So as of now, we are actively pursuing opportunities, of course, in Rajasthan. We are also pursuing active opportunities in Maharashtra, where we are having huge underground cable and substation, GIS substation projects in the next 6 months. We are actively pursuing the state of Odisha, where we are having huge 132 and 220 kV cable projects, as well as GIS and AIS substation projects up to 400 kV.
We are also pursuing Jharkhand, where there are very good the state transmission utilities investing very heavily the capex on substation portion. So we are targeting opportunities across these states.
So, and what time frame do you expect to?
I think in the next in the next 8 months, roughly eight to ten months, we should see some action on the order book of outside Gujarat.
Okay, and my last question is that in a small fraction of your order, I think particularly in Rajasthan, there were some terms of business which was favorable to your working capital deployment and in basically reduced your working capital deployment. Now, is that an increasing trend or is business still requiring the same amount of work capital?
No, it is an increasing trend. An increasing trend in the sense that Orissa and other states have also seen this and have also started implementing the insurance surety bond clause in the tender.
Currently, in your order book, what proportion of your order book comes under this insurance surety bond?
Very minor portions of whatever we are working outside Gujarat.
Okay.
So around, 8% to 10%.
Okay, but is ki badhne ki gunjayish hai in a meaningful way?
Bilkul, sir. It will increase. Day by day, people have been pushing the usage of insurance surety bonds because practically blocking cash of contractors is unfavorable business, makes it unfavorable business environment as well. And insurance surety bond guarantee equal amount through a very minuscule investment.
Okay. Thanks, sir. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Mohit Arora from Hem Securities. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the question. You can see that your MSM payables has increased from 5 crore to 87 crore. So are you within 45 days payment mandate and the receivables doubling and payables getting 2.5x? So
Mohit, there is a lot of disturbance in the background.
Hello, is it audible?
It's audible, but there is some disturbances in the background.
Yeah. Is it better?
Yeah.
Now? Yeah, it's better. So we can see that MSME payable has rose from 5 crore to 87 crore. So I am asking, are these under 45 days payment mandate? And the other question is that our receivables is getting double, payable is getting up 2.5x. So, and the short-term borrowing has also increased from 29 CR to 82 CR. So which clearly indicates that there is a working capital stress. So how will you normalize all these things?
So I think if you ask us from a cash stress for working capital, we don't see that stress on our books. I think what we were able to manage this time from creditors is that from an advance payment for creditors to, we have started getting credit terms from them for up to 30 days. So that has been one positive win for us while managing our business. I think the only spike which you see, which is, say, the debtors getting moved to around 78 days, as we discussed, that's mainly because of a very high bullet kind of invoicing in the month of March. The more rational, the more, the billing becomes evened out, these numbers will again fall back to the genuine around 60 days for debtors, maybe some good improvement in creditors where we are able to stretch them. And inventories keeps moving in. So I think there is no stress on the working capital. We are well positioned to manage the entire business in this.
And on this MSME side, that we are having 87 crores of outstanding. So are these are within 45 days payment mandate?
So we have a specific agreement with these parties, and we are okay with the payment terms of more than 44 days, being an MSME.
How many percentage of this 87 crores are like agreed for more than 45 days of payment?
All, sir. Whosoever has not agreed, we have released their payment within 45 days only, sir.
Okay. And in the previous call, you mentioned that you are targeting to get to close the order book of 4,500 CR by the end of FY26. But now we can see that there is a shortfall in that. So what led to that shortfall?
I think there is no shortfall. I think it's just the tender results are not out. So whatever we had targeted, we had bid in Q4. It's just that the results are taking time to get out. If you consider the order book, yeah, it's a time issue. It's not a target issue or any slowing down issue or something.
And okay, thanks. And could you please explain the margin profile in the transmission segment and the distribution segment as the overhead cost absorbs better in transmission? So are there a better margin in transmission?
So looking at every perspective of, you know, the bid and the project, of course, there we need more manpower to manage the distribution projects compared to transmission projects. But from what we operate currently, we are seeing a same margin profile both for transmission and distribution projects. So we are not seeing any more any big change in the margin profiles of both the businesses.
And you said that you have.
Sir, very sorry to interrupt you. Could you please join back the queue?
Okay, sure.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Pushkar Jain from Mili Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah. So I just wanted to know, out of the 3,300 crores order book, how much is fixed and how much is, you know, has the price escalation clause, and what will be the duration or lag for the price escalation to kick in?
So I think all our projects are covered by the price escalation clause for most of the items. That's the reason that we saw a lot of aluminium, copper prices going up in Q3, Q4, but still our margins remain intact. So I think it's completely moves back to back. As soon as the supply happens at a bigger price, the same time we also invoice to our customers with the new revised price. So I think there's no time lag. And that's how we are protected from market for any price variations.
Okay. So basically, everything is virtually back-to-back. There is no lag.
Correct.
Right. And sir, you can tell me what is the attrition rate among our EHV cable jointers, not the overall headcount, just the those specific or GIS commissioning engineers.
So attrition rate, we can proudly say that we have the one of the lowest attrition rates in the industry. The cable jointers that have been with us since 2002 and 3 are still with us and are in fact training the next generation that we hire new to become the jointers. So hardly probably, you know, 2% attrition or 3% attrition would be there, but not more than that, not major.
Oh, wow. Great to hear. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Vishwendra Singh from Prudent Equity. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Am I audible?
Yes.
Sir, I wanted to ask, what is the current L1 position in the unexecuted order book?
So I think the L1 position in the current order, the L1 order book in the current order book, which you already stated, would be around 210 crores L1 status.
Okay, and this was somewhere around 900 crore, including taxes, like in H1 con call, right?
H1 808 is what I remember. The order which we had stated.
Like somewhere around 900 crore, including taxes.
We are now not using taxes to avoid confusion among anyone, so we just talk about pre-tax number only.
Okay. And also, sir, I saw that there was a slight decline in the share of profit of loss of like associates and joint ventures. So any major reason behind that?
So basically, the billing that was scheduled to happen was shifted because there was issues regarding site readiness by the customer. So the project that we were aiming to commission by February, March, we had to shift it to, you know, a couple of months further. So that is the reason there is a slight decline. But we are confident of it getting back
over the next year.
Okay, just a quick confirmation. Who holds the rest of the 75% of that enterprise, sir? The HKRP solution innovation?
I'll just ask Ms. Nikita to answer that question.
Yes, another group is Hari Group Automation Private Limited family, and the remaining 25% is with the Rajesh Power promoters only, and remaining 50% is held by Hari Group of families and their promoters.
Okay, got it. And I wanted to ask, what is the bid, like you have mentioned bids awaiting results, so can you shed some light, what is this category, like are we announced L1 in this, or what is, how do we see this? Okay.
No, basically those are tenders that we have applied for and we are awaiting results that we bid in Q4.
Okay, so is it fair to assume that the total bid... Anji.
Can you please join back with you, sir?
Sure.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Umang from NBES in Analytics Advisory LLP. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes.
Thanks for the opportunity and congrats for a good set of numbers. Just one question on the order inflow. Last time when we interacted, I think you have highlighted that this year we will be closing around 4,500 CR order book. Now we are sitting at 3,300. So can you explain the reason for it, why there is a gap?
Sir, as previously explained, the 2200 order book which we have already built in Q4 of 26, we are just awaiting results of it. If the results would have been received, I think that number would have been fairly achieved.
Okay, understood. Okay, thank you. That's it from my bit.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Vaibhav Lohia from CFM. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. I wanted to understand what is the targeted closing order book for FY27?
I think we are targeting somewhere above 5,000 crores of order book for FY27 closing.
Above 5,000 crores. Okay, understood. And lastly, you said that the subsidiary PL would be contributing back again like previously. So like previous year for FY26, it was 9.75 crores. So what can we expect in FY27 for this?
So SKIB is an associate. I think the way the billing will happen, I think we'll have a much better idea in maybe at the H1 numbers, where we'll be able to tell how the projects have progressed for the associate, and accordingly we'll know what will come to our company.
Okay. And one more thing from my end, what is the amount collected out of the 348 crores of receivables till now?
So, almost 150 crores has been received.
Okay, understood. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants are requested to restrict to 2 questions in the initial round and join back the queue for more questions. The next question comes from the line of Vinay Lakra from Ratnatarya Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hello.
Am I audible?
Yes, you are audible.
Yeah. Actually, I just wanted to know the split in the order inflow as well, like the L1 part in the order inflow.
Sorry?
So, I wanted to know the L1 part in the order inflow. So, order inflow was around 2,743 crore, right?
Correct.
So, does it include L1 as well?
No. So what was L1 at the order book of September 30th were already converted into confirmed orders, right? For which we have already made the disclosures. So I think if you are looking at 2700 number, only 200 crores is what is L1 right now, as I mentioned. Rest everything has been confirmed orders. So
okay. So this like if we add up all the numbers in the press release, this should get into 2700. You think?
Sorry?
So, in press release, you give orders, right? So, that is including GST, the order numbers, the in value, in crores.
Then I think the order, what are the numbers we are talking now are all excluding GST.
Yeah, but I'm saying like when in the press release, the order numbers which we give is including GST, right? The value.
So,
So basically, whatever announcements we make, we specifically mention whether it's including GST or excluding GST. So I think because we have a back-to-back tender with GST, we usually mention that number, but we specifically disclose it that it is with GST.
Okay, so this 2743 is the actual order inflow happening.
Yeah, yeah,
during
it's
this
the
half
exactly
year.
What the, it's exact number which will convert to revenue.
Okay, fine.
And on the BESS billing, how do we expect to bill in the sense? Is it going to be like bug? I mean, we are, my understanding would be we'll be investing around 100 to 120 crores. So what is the annual billing that we expect starting from September FY27?
Sir, your voice was cracking in between. What? Can you just frame your question again?
Yeah. So on the BESS project, I think my calculation says we are investing around 100 to 120 crores in that project. How much would be the annual billing starting from September 27 that we expect?
So I think, as it said, it's 1.89 lakh per megawatt. So now if you multiply with 130, that's the number you will get for monthly invoicing. And if you multiply by 12, that's the number you get. So around 14 crores to 15 crores a year is what we're going to bill under the BESS project.
And what with the cost of these revenues? Would there be any cost to these revenues in terms of OPEX or nothing?
I think OPEX would be very minor.
So this would be almost like a rental income, right? Which will flow through the P&L, correct?
Rental income. Yeah, it's close to kind of a rental income kind of a
okay.
Project.
Got it.
Yeah.
Definitely. And one last question. On the distribution side, you said from JETCO NTA, it is 5,000 crores. Opportunity, but do we totally that 5,000 crores entirely is in our opportunity set, or only a certain portion would be there in our opportunity?
No, I think the entire 5,000 which we have mentioned is the addressable size for us.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Jainam Bora from Saltoro Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much for this opportunity and congratulations on a good set of numbers. My first question is regarding the manpower. As you kind of go on to scale the business with 40% revenue growth guidance that you're looking at in the medium term, how are you going to deal with the manpower piece of it? Will it proportionally increase? And in the near term, because of the West Asia war and the LPG impact, are you kind of seeing issues with manpower and issue in execution? So if you could talk about that.
So basically, majority of our projects are the site-based projects in the sense that we have labor camps that are stationed near the site. So as of now or in the near future also, we are not facing any labor shortage issue in the sense of LPG. The situation that we are seeing has normalized, and we are not facing any issues because we have labor tie-ups, very good labor tie-ups with various agencies.
Okay. And as you scale, more importantly, like you said, this is a temporary thing which you manage, but as you continue to scale 5,000 crores of order inflow that you're looking at FY27 and similar levels in FY28, if not more, how are you planning to scale beyond a point, because it might become a challenge? So what's your sort of thinking behind that?
So for cable laying perspective, we are also exploring some automation techniques like automated cable winch machine and things like that. So we are exploring some part of that, but obviously rest will have to be manual. So we don't think that there will be any challenge of labor around the range that we have committed we'll be working.
Okay. My second question is regarding sourcing of the materials, whether it is the RMU units or whether it is transformers. Given the kind of tailwind that is there right now, the supply is very constrained, and we've been hearing from multiple stakeholders that it's a seller's market. So given that issue, as you continue to scale the business, how are you going about managing the supply chain piece of it, so that you can timely execute the order book that you have?
Yes, so I think procurement is one of our strong arms of the company. The main reason being that we are procuring all the materials in bulk. So we have a line of vendors that that are gathered with us to supply the material before time. So as of now or in the near future also, we are working on a very good, the capacity that we are consuming in the capacity, manufacturing capacity that the industry has. There is a very, very comfortable gap. So we don't think there will be any challenge related to this.
Okay. And in terms of competitive intensity, whether it's the orders that you seek in Gujarat, whether it is transmission or relating to the distribution, or it's the new states that you're targeting in transmission, if you could provide a flavor of what is the number of competitors that you have in a bid, and how intensive is it getting, probably, let's say, versus FY25 versus now, given that things are really picking up?
So competitive intensity, yes, it does increase, but we should understand that we are carrying out a specialized nature of work, that is underground cabling or GIS substations. So there are very few qualified players in this segment. And roughly one or two players each year, we are seeing an increase of one or two players each year in both the segments. But even after that, there are plenty of opportunities. So there is competition, but at the same time, the entire addressable market has increased significantly. So we are seeing around, in distribution segment, there are 4 to 5 to 6 competitors, and in transmission segment there are 3 to 4 competitors in an average bid.
Okay. And my last question is, do you have any aspirations to go beyond the 220 kV class? I mean, so you've got specialization in MVCC, but going forward, how 765 kV is going to continue to increase? Are you planning to find out more pockets like BESS, for example, more pockets where it's a niche and it could be high profile margin in nature? So just a few thoughts around that. How are you kind of looking at it?
Yeah, sure. So basically, we have expanded, in fact, beyond 220 kV, where we ventured into a 400 kV GIS segment with a private company in Gujarat, where we'll be commissioning the project in approximately September to October range. After commissioning the project, we can proudly say that we'll be one of the few, very few players in the country having commissioned a 400 kV GIS, which will again give us a benchmark to participate or to look for opportunities in the 765 kV segment. As well as if you see MVCC segment, medium voltage covered conductor, is one of the largest success stories of Gujarat. So that model, where we are under execution of more than 51,000 kilometers of MVCC, one of the largest in the entire country. Other states are also seeing this example and trying to implement them. So of course, we are seeing a very huge opportunity in MVCC segment. So, yes, BESS also, it's a relatively niche segment. That is why as we said earlier, we are targeting BESS EPC projects in the mid to near future.
So shouldn't this improve margins if you're looking at niche projects and if you're looking at something that's very iterative in nature, and especially new states see that you already have such a track record? I fail to understand why the margins would be just around 11 to 12%.
So what we are committing is not a decrease in margin, but a stabilized margin. That is what we are able to commit right now.
All right, got it. Best wishes. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Due to time constraints, that was the last question for the day. I would now like to hand over the floor to Mr. Uttav Panchal for his closing comments.
So thank you everyone. On behalf of the management of Rajesh Power Services Limited, we thank you all for joining us on our post-earnings call today. We hope we have been able to address majority of your queries. You may reach out to me or our investor relation partner, Ernst & Young, for any further queries that you may have, and they would connect with you offline. Moderator, we can now close the call. Thank you all.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes your conference for today. Thank you for your participation and for using GoSabha's conference call service. You may disconnect your lines now. Thank you and have a pleasant day.